It takes a lifetime of effort to make what you do look easy. That's a mantra that could apply to any endeavor, but it's especially true of the trumpet, an especially demanding instrument. Trumpeters have to keep their chops up, and every day without practice, you get worse. Chris Botti labored for years playing clubs, even playing Christmas carols on the street, before finding international fame, and we talked about his journey.
When I look back at my career, obviously when I first started out, you know, you want to become great at your instrument, you want to be able to play jazz, you want to be able to, you know, have a gig, so to speak.
Yeah.
But when you're actually sitting there trying to figure out or thinking that you might have the opportunity to reach a wide audience, and the way you do that, whoever all those people that you mentioned were, you know, Louis Armstrong or Big Spiderbeck or Chet Baker or Jerry sure. Mulligan or all the instrumentalists that had, like, very big fame, mm-hmm. Glenn Miller, of course, there was some sort of musical fingerprint that they had that the whole national public could say, well, when Louis Armstrong played his trumpet, everyone knew it was him.
Yeah.
Now, there are so many amazing musicians in the world that are great players, but they may not have that one fingerprint that everyone recognizes.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get that fingerprint, I think there is something else that happens, like they call the stars aligning or fate or whatever, that luck, which is a large part of it.
Sure.
And I think that the rarity of that to happen, it makes it viable for that person, the good fortune for that to happen. And that's in many ways what happened to me, and it happened much later in my career, and I'm very aware of that good fortune.
Part of that, I think what you just described, is being able to inject a personality into the sound of an instrument.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, you're making a more, my statement about a fingerprint is a little more esoteric, but what you're saying is exactly spot on, and they go hand in hand with that.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, Louis Armstrong, you kind of know what kind of person he is. You can feel the joy, there's a celebration of life in every note that he plays, and it's like, I don't know how it is that comes across to people, but it does.
Absolutely. And then Chet Baker had his, you know, vulnerability, and Miles had his broodiness and all mm-hmm. that. You could feel, you know, you could kind of get a sense for that on all the players.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody can really define where that comes from, except that you just kind of, for the player, you just have to kind of immerse yourself in your craft, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're a musician, you keep your head down, you work, and you don't necessarily think about that sort of thing first. I mean, I never really thought about, you know, is my trumpet have the ability to reach a large mass audience until way, you know, we're talking about like till I was 42 years old, you know.
Sure.
And so between ages of 12 to 42, I was thinking about how can I be a good trumpet player, you know.
Yeah.
And that whole other thing is a different topic altogether. And it's very rare that people get that opportunity to actually toss around those ideas.
But part of that is of course, what you feel when you play to an audience, right? The audience feedback is a big part of development once you get out there with your sound.
Oh, sure. I mean, my career is basically built on word of mouth. I'm an artist that doesn't have a hit song or a hit. Yeah, my hit song, I guess. You know, like a singer has a, well, what song did they do? Well, they did this. You know, my success is built on a great band and a great live show and people saying, oh, you got to see this. I mean, I use San Francisco as an example. You know, albeit it was like a couple weeks after 9/11, but we went into San Francisco and my band outnumbered the audience. There was four people in the audience and six people in our band.
Uh-huh.
And then slowly but surely, we keep going back and back and back. And, you know, now we go and there are many thousands of people there. And that's just sort of like old school word of mouth and working it. And that's something that's longevity, you know, sustaining. And then I'm real proud of that.
Well, a lot of musicians in their early days run into that thing of outnumbering the audience up on the bandstand. And, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, right? It's easy to get discouraged by that.
Sure. You know, but I think that, at least for me, you know, I had a real kind of healthy dash of naivete. You know, I mean, I think, you know, if I were to go back and look at my career and say, well, I was playing on the streets in New York, Christmas carols, and, you know, but at the time, if I made $20 playing in the streets in New York Christmas carols, I thought I'd won the Academy Award, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it as a bad thing. And I think that not getting down on yourself or depressed by the actual reality of what you were doing day to day made it so that you could have the rosier, you know, rose-colored glasses that would enable it to, when it was great, then it would be more real.
Sure, that $20 does feel like a really important $20, and then of course when you do play,
especially
for,
then,
yeah, I'm sure it's gets a couple of meals at least, right? But then when you reach, it also enhances the reward when you do get to that point of playing for a large audience, I would think.
Correct, and not, you know, you go through, you know, shifts in your career. You know, you go through. You know, can I play with these musicians? I'm playing with more famous musicians, and then all of a sudden, I'm not playing really horrible gigs, and I'm not playing weddings, and I'm not playing. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual sort of change, and then things start moving rapidly. When you start really reaching a wide audience, or becoming well known, or being stopped in an airport, or something like that, that stuff happens more on the faster side than you'd think.
And then when that career momentum picks up, there are things that you need to hang on to from earlier on, right? You know, you have to still remain on top of your craft.
Well, I'm probably practicing more now than I ever have. And I did the kind of the weirdest thing. I was living in Los Angeles for 5 years, and I basically woke up one day and I sold everything I owned. Like, I mean, I sold my apartment, my cars, and blah, 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 blah. And I moved into a hotel in New York. So I live full-time in a hotel. And because I'm in the situation I'm in now and I don't have to work, et cetera, I wake up every morning and I walk across to a music school and I practice every day for 4 or 5 hours a day. And that, it sort of puts me in a real routine that I like. And it also reminds me of when I went to college, and I hear other little kids playing the piano and stuff, and I think that puts me in a real good mindset. So I've been practicing more, and I'm more focused even. The trumpet's an instrument you have to practice a couple hours a day anyhow, no matter what.
Sure is,
But I've been playing a lot more than that and being more focused and more because I recognize my good fortune. I also want to get better. I want to learn, you know. You have to, like, do 2 or 3 hours a day for maintenance, and then the other 2 or 3 hours a day is to try to get better and see how that infiltrates your sound and your playing over time.
Well, I think that's the kind of story that might well inspire younger musicians, because younger players need to find out just exactly what it is they've bought into, don't they?
Oh, boy. Yeah, if you're a young musician, you're listening, you want to be, instrumentalist, I congratulate you wholeheartedly and have a lot of respect for people that want to take that leap, because it is daunting nowadays. It's not for someone that's just kind of half in. You got to be all in.
Chris Bode will perform at Blue Note Hawaii in Waikiki from Tuesday through Sunday of next week.